We're really at the end of chapter eight. We really finished it. We finished it, but the end of chapter eight really describes a celebration of the Yontif of Sukkos, unmatched and unparalleled since the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. I want to add one thought that I didn't say last week, but it is a thought that has to be developed. I don't know if we're going to develop it now. But I have a lot of proof. I have a lot of proof to what I am about to say. There are two Yamim Tovim that really commemorate the Exodus from Egypt. One is Pesach and the other is Sukkos. What indeed is the difference between Pesach and Sukkos? Incidentally, in Ezra also, when Zerubbabel came back, it also says that they celebrated from Rosh Hashanah and then through Sukkos. It seems there's something about the celebration of Sukkos which is very special and unique, and briefly stated, I believe that Pesach is the celebration of the Exodus from Egypt. Sukkos is the celebration of the entry into Eretz Yisrael, because Sukkos really represents the Anane HaKavod, when it says L'man yedu daratechem, in order that your generations should know, ki basukos hoshafti es b'nei Yisrael, I had Jews living in Sukkot when I took them out of Mitzrayim. Ki basukos hoshafti es b'nei Yisrael b'hotzi'i otam, after I took them out of Egypt. Which means the following: Pesach is the celebration of the Exodus. Sukkos is going to be the celebration of the post-Exodus. And that post-Exodus really represents two periods. One period of time is the 40 years in the desert, and then the period following that is the entry into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, if Pesach represents the Exodus, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, it says in Torah, on this day you went out of Egypt. And Sukkos, it says, L'man yedu dorotechem, in order that your generation should know that they lived in Sukkos, behotzi'i, after I took them out. That means Sukkos is picking up where Pesach left off. And then at the end of Sukkos, we have Shmini Atzeret. There's another Yontif. The Gemara says Shmini Atzeret is a regel of Neatzvot, a Yontif of its own. What do we do on... What does Shmini Atzeret really represent? Shmini Atzeret really represents the Am Echad together with Elohim, who is Echad. What's the Haftorah of Shmini Atzeret? The Haftorah of Shmini Atzeret is the beginning of Yeshua as Jews prepare to cross the Jordan into Eretz Yisrael. Sukkos spans the period of 40 years in the desert and the entry into Eretz Yisrael. In a sense, the real agricultural holiday of the three Yom Tovim is Sukkos. Sukkos represents the entry into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there was some sort of celebration in the days of Yehoshua, but it did not match at all the celebration of Sukkos as it was celebrated by Ezra and Nehemiah after they came into Eretz Yisrael. In a sense, Sukkos was the Yom Ha'atzma'ut of Bayit Sheni. This was the Yontif that represented their entry into Eretz Yisrael. But this is an idea that we will elaborate on further. I want to do chapter 9 today. And there are going to be a lot of surprises. Yeah, right. Chapter 9. And there are going to be a lot of interesting things here. Ubiyom Esrim V'Avah L'Chodesh Hazan, the 24th day of this month. That means the 24th day of Tishrei. They had finished Sukkos. Now, Sukkos ends on the 22nd of Tishrei. The 23rd of Tishrei is Isru Chag. The 23rd of Tishrei is the day of the Yontif. They are now going to gather on the 24th day of Tishrei. And this 24th day of Tishrei, they're going to turn into a day of fasting. So, and because it's fasting, it could not have been on the 23rd or the days before, because the days before were Yom Tov, and on Yisru Chag also, the day after Yom Tov, Yom Fast. Ubiyom Eshem v'abor HaKodesh Hazem, the 24th day of this month, Nesu b'nei Yisrael, Israel gathered the Tzom u'besakim to fast, and with sackcloth v'adom aleim, they placed earth upon them. What's going to happen in this chapter, and it will be completed in the chapter afterwards, there's going to be the commitment to a new covenant between God and the Jewish people. The commitment to a new covenant. A Brit is going to be entered into, and to this Brit is going to be added an amanah, a charter, an agreement. Those are the words that are going to be used. There's going to be a charter that's going to be signed by 85 of the Gedolei Yisrael, where Jews commit themselves to rededicate their lives to God, and they're not going to do the avodas that their forefathers had done. And it begins with Vayibadlu Zera Yisrael Mikol Benei Necha, the seed of Israel separated themselves from all foreigners or strangers, which means the following. At the end of Sefer Ezra, we learned about that day on which Ezra was told that there are Jews who have intermarried. And as a result of that, Ezra called all of Israel together, and he, only in part, I remember then I had said that he only succeeded partially in his attempt to stem the tide of intermarriage and reverse the situation. It was not completely resolved. The ultimate resolution is going to come now. This is 12 years later, in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. And in a sense, what Ezra is the great colossus, the giant of Torah. You know what every great giant of Torah needs? You need a mankal, an executive director, like a Nehemiah. Nehemiah had organizational abilities that Ezra didn't have. And it's only when we have Ezra and Nehemiah together that they are going to be able to resolve some of the pressing problems of Klal Yisrael. I think there's something else that's terribly important. It means, therefore, that during the course of this Sukkot, where they are celebrating, they're celebrating a lot of things. During the month of Av and Elul before, they had finally built the walls of Yerushalayim. They started building the walls of Yerushalayim. 52 days it took them till they finished the walls. They finished the walls on the 25th day of Elul. They're then going to have a Rosh Hashanah and a Yom Kippur. They're going to have a Sukkot that's going to be a great celebration. Are they able to, at the time they celebrate, are they aware of the fact that there are serious problems facing Klal Yisrael?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they are aware of the fact. But one has nothing to do with the other. Understand the point that I'm getting at? Just because there are problems doesn't, and serious problems mean that you have to resolve them. Obstacles you have to overcome. But because there are serious problems doesn't mean that we can't pull ourselves together on a yontif to thank the Rebbeinu Shlolem for all of the great things that he did for us. And that precedes the major effort that's now going to be made. You know, you understand what I'm talking about. And talking about those who say, there are those who say, well, Yom HaTzmaot, what's there to celebrate? It's so terrible here. It's so terrible here. I told you about my collection of cassettes. I told you that on Tuesday morning. My collection of cassettes of shiurim that I've given around Yerushalayim to the boys' schools and the girls' schools, why we don't celebrate, and they're all being told, Masali, today, they're being told why we're not going to stand up at 11 o'clock when the siren goes off. Jonathan Rosenblum should not have tried to do it in the Jerusalem Post today. It was a big mistake. It was a big mistake. He writes well, but he has to know when not to when not to write. You can't give me this business that, you know, we don't stand 2 minutes doing nothing. Remember, you may recall last week's share where I said for Amdu that Klal Yisrael stood in the Beis HaMikdash, and it says Amdu, one of the pshatim in Amdu is that they stood at silence. All right. And Vayidom Aaron, silent. I don't understand what would Jonathan Rosenblum say about Aaron in silence. Aaron, what do you mean silence?
Satan.
He was following a local Egyptian custom. Yeah. Jonathan Rosenblum would have told him that, well, you should have said Mishnayos, or maybe you should have said Tillim, or maybe you should have said Kel Malay Rachman. You know, we don't just stand around doing nothing ever. I mean, of course, what I disagree with him is that the 2 minutes should not be 2 minutes of nothing, but the 2 minutes should be thinking of the pain and the suffering. And yes, 20,000 families that will carry this for a lifetime. You never get over these things. To feel... that's right. Okay, you got it. All right. The important thing is we already pointed out last week that they stood, and they stood at silence. The point that I'm making now is that it should be possible. I mean, this is exactly what they're doing. They are celebrating a Sukkot at the same time that they know that there are extremely serious problems with the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael that have to be dealt with. Yeah. But one has nothing to do with the other. You should be able to turn around and say to the Bavei Shem, Shkayach Bavei Shalelom, you've begun by its Shlishi. We've finished the walls around this city. And there are problems, there are always problems. That's the stuff that life is made of. Problems are to be resolved. And that's exactly what they're going to do. Immediately, the Yantif is over. They wait the one day of Isru Chag because they can't make a fast. And they're going straight into the fast. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all. This is the first time it says Mikol B'nei Necha. That's why I say that Nehemiah was able to complete the task that Ezra had begun from all of the foreign people. Vayando, and they stood up. Vayisvadu al chatoteihem, and they confessed their sins. Vaavonot avoteihem, and the sins of their fathers. Vayakumu al omdam, and they stood in the spots. They remained standing where they had risen. Vayikru b'sefer Torah Hashem Elokeihem reviyat hayom, and they read in the sefer Torah of God their God 1/4 of the day. And 1/4 of the day, they confessed their sins and they bowed down. Lashem Elokim to God, the God. There was like a stage that was set upon which the Levim stood, and there you had Yeshua, and they list the names of the people: Yeshua, Ubani, Kadmiel, Shivanya, Buni, Shelevia, Bunny. By the way, the Bunis and the Bunnies are names, and they were most probably nicknames shortened from either Binyamin, or I wouldn't be a bit surprised. This is just I'm theorizing. I wouldn't be a bit surprised that people who had returned and were part of Binyan Haaretz gave their children names that had in it the letters Boneh or Binyan, like Binayahu ben Yoyada. And yes, you're absolutely right. They most probably gave them names of that sort that included within it the idea of Binyan Haaretz, of Binyan Yerushalayim. Geula or Batzion or Benzion. I mean, there are a lot of names that reflect the times. I have a feeling that one of the names that would take a look at one pasuk, we have two bunnies and a bunny, and a Shavanya, and there are going to be others. And these were all takeoffs of names that represented the idea that we're back in Eretz Yisrael. Yes, like the names Geula and Tikva and Simcha, and there must be a lot of others. I mean, I don't know, you know, the Chagits and the Saritz and the Hits and the, you know, all the Israeli names. I can't keep. Tziona, right, Tziona, all of these names. They cried out in a great voice to God their God. Vayomru halavim, the levim, Yeshua and Katbiel, Bunny. Here we have another one. Chashavnaya, Sheirevia, Hodia. You see a number of these names too? Hodia, thanking God. Chashavnaya may very well be that God has thought about us. Shavanya, also the idea of in Shavanya you had Shav, that we've returned. Bonaya, that we're building. God is building and returning. Or God is returning us. Yet all these names carry with themselves the idea. Psachya. Psach lanu shach. God, open up the gates. Open up the gates. Psachya. Kumu baruchu et Hashem. They said to the people, arise and bless God your God min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, from now on to eternity. V'yivaruchu shem kodecho. They should bless your holy name. Umiromam al tov v'rachol tehil. And regardless of what they say, God rises higher. He is exalted above every blessing and every prayer. Now here, we're going to come to a number of psukim that we say in our daily davening. Most people are unaware of the fact that it comes from Sefer Nehemiah or Ezra Nehemiah, but here it is. We say it every morning in davening. Atah Hashem levadecha. Now, if we say it in davening, we might as well get the structure of this. You are God alone. Atah Sitat Hashemayim, Shemay Hashemayim. In this pasuk, they are describing God as the Creator. And you're going to see that there's going to be a review of history. There's going to be a fulfillment of the Higadot Levincha. They're going to tell Klal Yisrael history beginning with Bereshit. You are the one who made the heavens and the heavens above the heavens, V'chol Tzuvam, and you made all of their hosts, the stars, the Milky Way, the galaxies. Ha'aretz, you made the earth, V'chol Asher Olah, and everything that's upon her. Hayamim, V'chol Asher Behem, the seas and all that is in them. V'atom Mechaye et Kulam, and you keep all of them alive. U'tzva Hashemayim L'chom Ishtachavim, and the hosts of the heavens bow down to you. Atahu Hashem Elokim Asher Bechar Kavi Avram. Then we move in history from the creation of the physical world to, a sense, the creation of the spiritual world. After who Hashem Elikim, you are God Hashem Bechalto Avram, you chose Avram, Vautzeitom, you were Kazdim, and you took him out of Ur Kazdim. In a sense, what's happening to Avram is something that demonstrates to us what's ultimately going to happen to the children. Just as he is taken out by God out of Ur Kazdim, the children are going to be taken out of Mitzrayim. V'hutzeitom Ur Kazdim, you took him out from Ur Kazdim, the Santo Shemo Avraham, and you gave him his name Avraham. That this one single individual was going to become the father of a great nation, and for that matter, the father of all of the peoples on the face of this earth. You found his heart to be faithful to you. Avraham Avinu was the one who undergoes the 10 tests, and he passes all of those 10 tests, and he proves to God that he is faithful. We once gave, once or twice I think we gave the shir in which I described Avraham Avinu as the man who begins as the lonely man of great intellect, who turns in ultimately to the lonely man of faith. His becomes an intellectual knowledge of God that is deepened by a faith that is unshakable. Avraham, the great intellect, becomes Avraham, the great ma'amin. V'charotim lo abrit, and therefore you made a covenant with him. Latet et eretz haknani, achiti, ha'amodi, ha'prisi, v'yivusi, v'hargirgoshi, latet lazaro. To give that land, to give it to his children. Don't ask me why Chivi isn't mentioned, because I don't know yet. And I expected somebody to count and see that there are six nations mentioned here and not seven. At least I'm honest enough to say that I'm investigating it. I haven't even found anybody who asked the question. It's not changed at all from the Siddur. No, the Siddur takes the Pesukim as they are. V'atokim et varecha ki tzadik ata, you fulfilled your words because you are righteous. V'ateire et oni avoteinu v'mizkayim, you saw the suffering of our fathers in Egypt. V'zakatam shamata al yamsuf, and you heard their cries at the Yamsuf. And you gave your signs and your miracles in Pharaoh and in all of his servants and in all of the people of his land. Ki yadato, because you knew. Ki hezidu aleihem. Ki hezidu aleihem. This word, ki hezidu aleihem, is very, very important. We'll come back to it.
wakes me up. 2 minutes, you can think of so much during the course of 2 minutes. If anything, I learned the value of time. Tremendous, tremendous.
I told somebody this morning, on Yom HaZikaron, my wife doesn't come with me because she's at the military cemetery in Tel Aviv. She had an uncle by the name of Shaya Rubinov, 22 years old. He left Canada. And before he left, he took his life savings and he bought his mother a fridge. They didn't have a fridge. They had an icebox. And he took whatever he had. He had been in the Canadian Army. And then he came to Eretz Yisrael to fight. And he fell on Yud Tammuz 1948. That's about 2 months after the establishment of the state, at the Battle for Latrun. So since we came on Aliyah, every year, I don't know, for many years, certainly nobody ever went to the Kiva. She found it, and she goes every year. She's there at the, hundreds of thousands of families, of course, must have had such losses. But imagine to go pick yourself up and 22 years, I mean, there was never, we know about it here, all the time. Anybody who can't afford 2 minutes to think about it has got a problem. All right. Vatite, ki yodato ki hezidu aleim. This word hezidu is going to be repeated a number of times here in this chapter. And the word hezidu also appears a number of times with regard to Egypt. In davening in the morning, in Ezra Avoseinu, it says, Yedidim he'evarta v'zedim tibata. Did I kill the davening there? Is that the... We're coming to that in a moment. Who has a... does anybody have a sitter? That's only Mincha Maariv with Shacharis also. All right, let's see. Yeah. Zeneched. Okay. Dalet Iyar. Last year, that's tomorrow. Yeah, but this was last year. Very nice. Oh, so here in davening, right before Shemona Esrei, it should say it. I had it just the opposite way around. V'yamsuf lehem barkato v'zeidim tibata v'yedidim he'evarto. Zaydim, the Zaydim you drowned, the Yedidim, and the Yedidim, your beloved ones, your friends, Havarto, you took them across the sea. We also have it in the Shmon Esrei, V'lam Alshinim, Alti Tikva, V'chol Aminim Kedagi Yaveda, V'chol Oyvei Amcha Mehiro Yukareisu, V'hazaydim, and the Zaydim, Mehiro, speedily, Ta'aket, Tishabet, Tamaget, Techalim, destroy, uproot, eradicate. Of course it does. But we have to be able to define it a little better. You have it one other place in Shmona Esrei. Masarta Giborim Biad Khaloshim Viradim Biad Miyatim Utmeim Biad Tahirim Mirusham Biad Tzadikim V'zeidim Biad Oskei Sorosecha. Zeidim Biad Oskei Sorosecha. When Yisro comes to Moshe and Moshe tells him all that had happened in Egypt. So it says that Yisro said, Baruch Hashem, Hashem Hitzel, as it's Chayim, ki badovar asher zodu aleihem. That in which they had acted with Zodon came upon them. It means that the word Zayd, not Zayda, and not Zaydis, the word Zayd has a very specific meaning. And the meaning of Zayd is really expressed best by Shlomo HaMelech in
in Mishle. Zayd Yahir Leitz Shemo. Shneur HaMelech says a Zayd is a Leitz. A Leitz usually means somebody who makes fun, jokes. So you have to understand what Shneur HaMelech is saying. What Shneur HaMelech is saying is a Zayd is somebody who takes nothing seriously. Nothing has meaning to him. Nothing has value. Human life is meaningless. And therefore, if human life is meaningless, he can, with impunity, without any kind of guilty conscience, he can kill. Because nothing means anything. He empties everything of all of its meaning. A Zayd is the one who mocks. And therefore, once you mock the meaning of life, once you reject the idea of God, then you can do anything. You can do anything with absolute impunity. Nothing to hold you back. The Zayd is the one who is incapable of attributing anything serious to mankind, or except for himself, of course. Everything else is meaningless. Everything else is worthless. Everybody else is nothing. That's the Zayd. And therefore...
Does it generally apply to human life, or is it used in just spoiling everything? Or is it used specifically in the spoiling of human life?
No, it can refer to the entire range of what's significant and meaningful. As far as the Egyptians are concerned, it's used with regard to human life. Kibat Dov or Asher Zodu, Yisro says, that in which, the way in which they had caused suffering to the Jewish people, Aleihem, it came back upon them. Zaydim Tibato. They had no sense of the basic fundamental value of life, and therefore they were able to snuff it out and crush it without giving it a second thought. That's the Zayd, because nothing is serious. He's the only one who's serious. His life, that's serious. Nothing else is serious. Nobody else amounts to anything. Huh? What do you mean? Their scorn is a scorn of God. Yes, absolutely. He's the biggest joke of all, because he doesn't even exist. He doesn't even exist. Mi Hashem, Paro says, who is God that I should listen to him? Now, it means, therefore, what's fascinating is that in the Al-Hanisim that we read, Zaydim biyat oske toratecha, because the Zayd, all of his problems begin with a lack of an intellectual understanding of what's serious and what has value, what's meaningful. And therefore, oske toratecha are the ones that outweigh the Zaydim. And the word Zayd over here is going to be used, and over here, of course, in this pasuk, it's being used with regard to Egypt, precisely where it was used in davening Zaydim Tibato V'Yedidim He'evarto. And what was it that Yisro said? Ki Badovar Asher Zodu Aleihem Ki Yodato. Here in Nehemiah it says Ki Yodato Ki Hezidu Aleihem. They acted with absolute evil against the Jewish people because they took nothing seriously. So you made yourself a great name as of this day. You split the sea before them. And they went through the sea on dry land. And those who pursued them, you cast them down into the depths like a stone in mighty waters. This is the segment that appears before Oz Yosher. Now, there is something that, thank God, some siddur told me about it, so I noticed it years ago when I was still a little boy. In Pasuk 8, let me see. Pasuk 8 is extremely important. Yeah, of course.
In all of our Siddurim, I don't think there's a Siddur that has it right. There's a reason for it. In all of our Siddurim, a new paragraph begins at V'charot Imo HaBrit, in middle of the sentence. All of our Siddurim end Umatzata, a paragraph ends at Umatzata et Levavone Eman Lefanecha, and then begins the next paragraph, V'charot Imo HaBrit, and the fact is, this is... It is printed as a separate and distinct paragraph. And usually everybody reads it, and you stop. And you wait until the Shliach Tzibur, if you follow the Shliach Tzibur closely, you wait until he says, and then he says, so you stop, but you're not supposed to do that. Because over here, what they've done is all of our Siddurim have cut a pasuk in half, and the halacha is called psuka de lo paskei Moshe, a pasuk that Moshe didn't make, or that doesn't. It means a pasuk that doesn't appear in Tanakh. We can make up our own psukim. No, the fact is, oh yeah, I knew it. First, I want to get you all excited about it. So first of all, so you have to understand that the fact is that when you're davening to yourself, you know how you're supposed to say it, Umatzata et levavo ne'aman lefanecha v'charot imo habrit, as the pasuk is here in Nechemiah. You have to finish the pasuk. Why did they print it in the Siddurim in this way? So this Siddur Taka says it. If there's a bris in Shul and the mail is there, then the male says out loud, the choros imay habris. But otherwise, you're not supposed to stop in middle of a pasuk. And the way you should always read it is umotzata et levavo ne'eman lefanecha v'charot imo habris. And if you look carefully, you'll see that they don't have a they have a comma, not what do we call it? A period. I couldn't think of the word period. They don't have a period. Yeah, they don't have a by matzata et levavo ne'eman lefanecha. They have a comma because it really connects directly into the charot imo habrit. And so I say the only reason why they printed it distinctly. And the truth is, it's very problematic. And I would say the following: even if they're going to do that, what they should have done is continue to print the charot imo habrit in the same print. But usually they even change the print so that the charot imo habrit should stand out. I have still not forgiven the Siddurim that I used as a child, where in Shmone Esrei, Leman Yirbu Yemeichem Vimei Beneichem is printed as a separate paragraph unto itself. It's not a separate paragraph, Leman Yirbu Yemeichem. It's the end of the paragraph. It's the end of Vayam Shema. And it's always printed, you know, so, and from the time I was a little child, I always thought, you know, that Leman Yirbu is Leman Yirbu. Stuff like that. It's all part of the previous. But you know, there are certain things that they just put into the Siddur. I knew you wouldn't ask me. They obviously put it in order to emphasize Leman Yirbu Yemeichem Vimei Beneichem, Leman that length of life. They wanted to stress it, but people lose sight therefore the fact that it's all one paragraph. But there, it's not as bad as by the Charot Imo HaBrit, because the Charot Imo HaBrit is mamish stopping in the middle of a pasuk. There is no middle of a pasuk there. And you see that, you know, we never know it if we wouldn't look at the pasuk. And you know, you let it pass. But there most probably are other things. I mean, there are other things that were printed in the Siddur that we have no way of knowing why they did it. I mean, there are, I think one of the classic ones is Magdil Yeshuot Malko and Migdol Yeshuot Malko. So it says in many of them, B'Shabbos, on Shabbos you say one, the other during the week. The fact is it never said in the Siddur B'Shabbos, what it really said was Shmuel Bet, Shin Bet. It comes from Shmuel Bet, the pasuk. One of the psukim comes from Shmuel Bet. So they had written Shmuel Bet, so some other printer at some later point, what's this Shin Bays? I mean, today you would have written Shabak, I don't know, you would put a chof after it. But in those days, the only thing that they knew that came after a Shin Bet was a tough Shabbos, so it became already that the Shabbos Amen, but it's it. All right, okay, at least we've clarified it now, so you know, that Bechorot, that when you say it in davening in the morning, you should say Matzot at Levavo Ne'eman Lefanecha Bechorot Imo Habrit, etc. Not to pause over there. Huh? Why they had to indent? I don't know. Just to set it off, and it sets it off too much. All right. From Pasuk 12 and further, we are picking up, and it's going to be a history of a history. Well, watch this. Watch what they're saying. So for davening, we took out those few psukim that describe the exodus from Egypt and the splitting of the Red Sea. And he goes on to say, "Ubamud onan hinchitam yaman." You led them with a pillar of cloud during the day, ubamud eish laila, and with a pillar of fire at night, lohayir lahem, to light the way for them, et haderech asher yelchu bo, the way on which they shall go. Val har Sinai yoradeton, you came down, here we are. The rest of the history. You came down upon Mount Sinai, vidib, the daber imahem mishamayim, and spoke to them from the heavens. Vatitan lahem mishpatim yisharim v'torot emet. And we're talking, remember, this is being said a thousand years after Maimon Har Sinai. So it's probably close to 1150 years after Sinai. And we find this in a number of places in Tanakh, the repetition, repeating the basic and fundamental parts of Jewish history, because this is a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. People, our people have to know Jewish history. Vatitein lahem mishpatim yisharim, the Torah emet, you gave them judgments that are correct, that are straight, the Torah emet, and Torah that is true, chukim, statutes, and mitzvot, tovim, and good mitzvot. That Shabbat kodesh chahotachalahem, you let them know the holy Shabbos. He's singling out Shabbos because there's a problem of chil Shabbos in Yerushalayim too. And he's going to deal with it. He's going to deal with it. Problems don't mean that you just throw up your hands and you say, well, this is not what we really wanted. Is this the kind of state we wanted with all of this chil Shabbos? And remember, when are they beginning to deal with these problems? Ezra and Nehemiah. At this point, we're talking about 90 years after the return had begun. This is not in the immediate aftermath. There's been Sheish Batzar and there's been Zerubbabel. We're talking about at least 80, 90 years after the return had begun. And only then are they getting down to dealing with serious problems. Problems don't mean that it's been a failure. The return to Zion has been a failure. I'm sure there must be people walking around Yerushalayim saying, oh, in Pompidisa. You know what Shabbos was like in Pompidisa?
Huh?
In Pompidisa, you understand? That's what they would have been talking about. Oh, it was Shabbos in Yerushalayim. And here in Yerushalayim it's not. That's not... Problems mean that there's work to be done. There are always problems. The Shabbos Kodesh Chodatalem, you let them know your holy Shabbos. Umitzes to Chukim v'Torah Tzivizalem, and commandments and statutes and Torah you commanded them b'yad Moshe Av Derchov through your servant Moshe. V'lechem Hashamayim atatalem l'ra'ovam, and you gave them bread from heaven for their hunger. Umayim misela hotseit alehem litzimon, and water from a stone you brought out for them for their thirst. V'atom alehem, and you told them, Lavo la reshet et haaretz, to come inherit the land, asher asot et yadcha lo tet lahem, that you swore to give to them. By the way, this is going to be a refrain. This is going to be a refrain. And I understand Ezra and Nehemiah. When there are problems, you have to remind the people living in Eretz Yisrael that you're performing a mitzvah by being here. You are performing the will of God because He told you you should come and inherit the land that He had lifted His hand to... In an oath to give to you. It's going to be, you'll see. Behem v'avoteinu heizidu, and they and their fathers heizidu. They acted with Zadon. Now it's talking about Jews who acted with Zadon. Weren't serious. Vayakshu et arpam, and they hardened the back of their necks. They were stiff-necked. V'lo shamo mitzotechon, didn't listen to your commandments. Vayimanu lishmar, and they refused to listen. V'lo zachnu niflotech asher asita mem, and they didn't remember the great wonders that you did with them. Vayakshu et arpam, and they made their necks stiff. Vayitnu rosh lashuv la'avdutam b'miryam, and they appointed someone at their head to return to their slavery in their rebellion. And you know what he's saying? This is something we don't know in Torah. In Torah, a number of times Jews say, Nitna Rosh, let us appoint a head, and we'll go back to Mitzrayim. Nowhere does it say that they indeed appointed somebody. Here it says, Vayitnu Rosh. I found, bring a medrash here, which to me was an eye-opener. I never knew it. Do you know who they appointed as the one to lead them back? You know, to lead them back where? To lead them back to the promised land, Mitzrayim. Who did they appoint? There's a medrash in Tilim that says they appointed Dathan. Dathan from the pair, Dathan Vavidan. They appointed him. That's why I found a footnote of it. It blew my mind. Who? B'miryam, in their rebelliousness, from Meri. Mamre Meizem, Meryam, in their rebellion. Dathan. Now, I was very, when I said that they appointed a leader to take them back to the promised land, why did I say that? I just have to teach you that when I make a statement, it's serious. Because in Parshas Korach, no. They challenged him and they said, you took us out from an Eretz Zavat Chol of a Divash. You took us out from a land flowing with milk and honey. And you didn't bring us to a land flowing with milk and honey. I once gave a shiur on the ugliness of that statement. They took the description, Eretz Zavat Chol of a Divash, a description that had been used only for one land, and they referred to Mitzrayim. You took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey. You know what that means? There is the lack of seriousness, the kind of lack of seriousness, the kind of sinister joke that is so destructive of everything that's holy. Because you know what it means? It takes a term, an idea that had become sanctified, and you empty it of all of its sanctity. As we've talked in the past about using the word Holocaust or Shoah indiscriminately to describe any kind of problem already, that's the word that's used. That's emptying the Shoah of its meaning. The fact that it was unique and different than any other anything else. So here also, they did appoint somebody. We find it out. It doesn't say it in all of Tanakh. I have this feeling sort of that nobody really wanted to say it until finally he came out. You know why he may be saying it? Do you know why he may be saying it? I can imagine that there are Jews in Yerushalayim who are saying, what do we need it all for? Let's go back to Babel. Jews who want to go back to Babel. I'm not saying I blame them. It was difficult. It was extremely, extremely difficult. Life was hard. The economy was shot. The economy was shot. There was no economy. There was nothing to speak of. Okay. I could understand in those early years, those who went back, they saw enough, they suffered from war in Europe, there were those who just couldn't suffer again through war. But what today was felt in store, it was felt in store. I can, I tell you, I've been looking around for something that you can't get in this country. And I nearly said, you know, finally there's something. You know, there was a time with a lot of things you couldn't get away. I'm looking for a nib for my Waterman pen. You know, it's a... Huh? I don't tell me. I've been all over already. And right, wait just for a moment. I have a store over here that has been in touch. Don't tell me. None of you can tell me. I'm not ready to go back for the to get a nib for my Waterman pen. I'm not ready to go back yet. If worse comes to worse, I'll wait until I go to on my next trip to Chutzars. But you should know that the one fella who is the agent happens to be in Miluim now. I was in a store and the fella, I have the name of the Waterman agent, and he calls him up and the fella answers. He said, "No, they are shopping in Miluim, and I can't take a look at the warehouse now." But I nearly for a moment had that thought. Can you imagine? In America, most probably they can walk into any store.
And like,
they may not be able to get it. But you're right. By the way, that's happening too. I had a very nice serviceman came yesterday. This is after a company told us, you should know, you're going to have to pay for the visit. We needed a sink. What do you call it? A bedes? What do you say, a bedes in a wood? A faucet. Okay. Needed a faucet fixed. And he worked on it for an hour, and he says, you know, this is an old model, it's 10 years old, we don't even carry it anymore. I mean, I felt like you know, like I had something so old and so out of the, a Beres 10 years old, and we don't even stop the parts, but I'm trying to fix it. He didn't succeed in fixing it. And so he said, "How much do I owe you?" He said, "Nah, I'm not taking any money for you." I said, This wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't have happened. I have to buy new Beres, you understand? Okay. We can leaven and lachen, but when Nehemiah is talking to Klal Yisrael, when the Levim are talking to Klal Yisrael, it's an extremely, extremely difficult period of time. And he has to send them the message that by Yitnu Rosh, there were Jews who had already taken the step of appointing somebody who was to take them back to Mitzrayim. It was this morning for the first time that I saw that the Medrash exists. I'm going to have to investigate this Medrash further because it's very, very fascinating. Because I can imagine the Arizal, the Ari, says, what was it that brought 10 Gedolei Yisrael, the Meraglim, to become Meraglim? I mean, that's the big question. 10 Gedolei Yisrael, and they say, no, we can't go. We would never be permitted to make the following statement if not for the fact that the Arizal says it clearly. He says what caused them to err was the fact that they saw that in the Midbar they're capable of being leaders. When they enter Eretz Yisrael, a different form of leadership is going to be necessary. There are going to be new challenges, and they will not be able to be the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And in a sense, therefore, this colors their whole view. For them, going into Eretz Yisrael is going to be a personal tragedy. It will be a triumph of Klal Yisrael. That's the way it is. When a person has his own interest, very difficult to see things clearly. I see Dathan as somebody who was a man of great importance in Mitzrayim. He was of great importance. He in the Midbar already is he's not a leader in the Midbar. If anything, he's a rabble rouser in the Midbar. But he looks back to Mitzrayim. That was his heyday. That's when he was the great. He was the great leader. I'm sure that the people who were not able to leave, whether it was Poland or Hungary or any other place, because listen, they held positions of great importance, great prominence, and they saw wherever they're going to go, they're going to have to start all over again. And it's true with any move that any human being has to make from one place to the next.
You have to start all over again. Nobody's going to come, out. You know how Israelis are. Tavol, Nirel. You have to rebuild everything all over again. Dawson was a leader of the Jewish community in Mitzrayim. He was not that in the desert. And therefore, he's ready to go back.
He could be the leader of those people against Moses. They speak.
That's exactly what he was. That's why he became them. That's why he challenges Moshe's leadership.
Yeah.
Because he has, in fact, lost his own position of leadership to Moshe.
If we don't get to East, we're
going to go back. Weiter. Af ki yosu lehem egel masecha. They even went ahead and made a molten calf. Vayomrim, and they said, Zelo Echo, this is your God, Asher Hel, Chomim Yitzchayim, that brought you out of Egypt. Vayasu Na'otzot Gedolot, and they did things that were very angering. Na'atzah. I can't.
Provocation.
Ni'atzu et Kedosh Yisrael, at the beginning of Yeshayahu. Na'otzot Gedolot. I don't know what the provocation is. I don't know. It's something that angers God. All right, provokes him. Okay, provocation. You and your great mercy did not leave them in the desert. I mean, you could have dropped them. You could have said, if they're making an eagle and they say, Yisrael, this is your God, you could have left them. But you know what? At Amud Hanon, Sarmi Aleim, you didn't remove the cloud of the cloud of smoke before them, biyomam lahanchotam b'haderech, to lead them on the way, bet amud ha'esh b'layla lahoir lehem, you didn't remove the pillar of fire at night to light for them, et haderech asher yelchu bo, you continue to lead them in the road that they should go, v'ruchacha hatovo natato lahaskilam, and you gave them from your good spirit, you gave them part of your spirit in order to make them masculine, people who see, people who are intelligent. Umancha yoman lo manatam ipiem, you didn't remove that from their mouths. Umayim natata lehem litzma'am, and you continue to give them water for their thirst. Bar boy, huh? No, he's talking, oh, you mean, in the, that's nice. That's obviously, in other words, because you're talking about Bezalel and Aliyah, those whom God gave them. Yeah. Some of the Mepharshim say that Lahaskilon over here means the ability to see, you gave prophecy. But I see no reason why we shouldn't be able to say exactly what to say. That the Jews were given tremendous talents. Barboim Shona killed Kautamamid for 40 years, you sustained them in the desert. Lo chaseru, they weren't lacking anything. Salmo seim lo balu v'ragleim lo batseku, their clothing didn't wear out and their feet didn't become swollen. Batitim lehem mamlachot v'amam. Now we're already moving in. We've gone through the 40 years in the desert. He now brings them into he's telling them the story of Eretz Yisrael. The memory of the past is a basic and fundamental part of all of Jewish existence. Without the past, we're nothing. Without the past, we lose all of our rights to a present and to a future. That's what it is. And therefore, you find all Gedolei Yisrael. David HaMelech has a perek in Tehillim that is a sweeping review of Jewish history. Yehoshua does it toward the end of his life. Yehoshua tells them the story of Jewish history. Shmuel, in his last speech to the Jewish people, tells them the God who took them out of Egypt and across the Yam Suf. Everybody returns to Jewish history, because Jewish history is the key to everything. You gave them kingdoms and nations. Very interesting. You spread out those nations who were here to the corners of the earth. That's of course a great blessing, because those nations who remained in Eretz Israel, God says in Torah, they're going to be thorns in your side and thistles in your eyes. If they're living in your midst or they're living close by, they're going to be a problem into eternity. You divide them out. And I think Vatechalkein is a very, very beautiful word to use. When the Rebbein Shem sends the nations of the world out of Eretz Yisrael, he's not sending them into exile. He's not sending them into dispersion. What he's doing is, he is giving them a share. He's giving them a chelek. He's giving them a part. It's just not going to be here. I'm giving you another part of the world. I took away something from you. I owe you another part of the world. Because the word Vatechalkein is always a positive word. Proof. Very good. Achalkein b'Yaakov v'afitzein b'Yisrael. When Yaakov speaks to Shimon and Levi and he gives, he doesn't really bless them, tells them off that their violence, the violence with which they conduct themselves, is not Jewish. And he says, Achalkein b'Yaakov v'afitzein b'Yisrael. I don't know if it's famous, but I like it, so I always think what I like is famous. Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch says, on Achalkein b'Yaakov v'afitzein b'Yisrael. L'hafitz is, of course, a negative word. It means to disperse. You don't want them together. Achalkein, he says, is a positive word. I give out portions.
A lot?
That's good. A lot. In other words, to a lot means that when God is sending the nations of the
quarter by quarter.
Okay. So watch. So he says the following. Shimon and Levi, fierce nationalists. They are the ones who said, what are you talking about? The city of Shem, Achesonas, Yafes, Achesenu, are they going to treat our sister like a harlot? This was tremendous patriotism for Kalan Yisrael. Now that patriotism is good when used in correct measure. And everybody needs that. Yes, however, listen to what he says. He says very beautifully. It's a very the difference between Yaakov and Yisrael. It says, Achalkein, I will apportion, allot them out in Yaakov, Vafitzem, and I will disperse them in Yisrael. This is Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch 150 years ago, writing the following, that Yisrael means Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov means the Jew in the Gola. So he says the following, this fierce sense of identification with the Jewish people that Shimon and Levi have, for the Jew out of the exile, you have to give them portions of that. They need that desperately in order to maintain and retain their identity. But in Eretz Yisrael, where there's a central government that is responsible for the well-being of the Jewish people, then the extreme nationalists are going to have to subdue themselves before the central government. In Eretz Yisrael, we can't tolerate that. What we need desperately in the Gola, in Eretz Yisrael, has to be dispersed. So therefore he says, Achalkein b'Yaakov, I'm going to give Jewish communities around the world, I'm going to give them a little bit of Shimon v'Levi. Everybody needs a little Shimon v'Levi. You need a guy who's going to stand up over there and express a sense of the uniqueness of Jewish identity. But in Eretz Yisrael, there, that combination can be a combustible combination. So I believe that the word is extremely significant. God is not taking the nations of the world and just throwing them out of Eretz Yisrael. He is apportioning and allotting pieces of land to them at different corners of the world. By Yeshua, Eretz Sichon, let's continue that passage. And they inherited the land of Sichon, that Eretz Melech Cheshbon, and the land of the king of Cheshbon. This, of course, requires explanation too. Sichon is Melech Cheshbon. Sichon is the king of Cheshbon. Why do they say they inherited the land of Sichon and the land of the king of Cheshbon? Yes, so what did I say about that? You remember my great vort that I said in the name of my Rashiva, Rav Rudelman Zecher Tzadik L'Racha? If he would know that I'm using his vort in the way that I use it, he knows probably. You remember what I want? That's right. The Gemara says, Gemara says on the psukim at the end of Parshat Balak, at the end of Parshat Balak, there are a few psukim that sing a song to the city of Cheshbon. Bo Cheshbon, come to Cheshbon, Kiryat Sichon, the great city of Sichon, Ki Eish Yotzami Cheshbon, a fire went out of Cheshbon, Lehova, a flame from the metropolis of Sichon, and it consumed all of Moab. Four or five psukim that sing a song to the city of Cheshbon. So the question is, I mean, is this so terribly important that for all time we have to know what songs the balladeers sang about Cheshbon, the troubadours about the great, and the Pasuk says, because Sihon waged war with the first king of Moab, and he took Cheshbon from him. Like, this is Torah, instead. I have to know what all the minstrels and the troubadours and the balladeers were singing about that battle. I mean, there have been millions of battles in history. What was so important about that? So the Gemara says, Bo Cheshbon, says the Gemara in Bava Basra, Bo Venasa Cheshbono Shalom, let us make the calculation, the great calculation of life. What is the reward of a mitzvah, and what is the punishment for doing an avera? You have to make the cheshbon. You have to make the calculation. Is it really worth it, or is the reward for a mitzvah and so much greater, and the punishment for an avera is so terrible that you shouldn't do it? So my Rosh Shiva then explained the following. Well, what does the Gemara mean? Gemara means that cheshbon was a little flea-bitten, I think that's how I always describe it, one-horse town at the border of Moab. It was nothing. There was the local bar. There was most probably a lockup with a sheriff sitting over there with a piece of hay coming out of his mouth. It was a sleepy little nothing of a town. It was on the border. So when Sihon invades Moab, the commanders-in-chief of Moab made a military strategic decision that we're not going to waste our time protecting Cheshbon. Cheshbon, it's a nothing town. Let them have their Ashlug in the Cheshbon. And therefore they decided we're going to strategically withdraw 20 kilometers behind Cheshbon, and then we're going to set up our defenses. So he comes in, Sichon comes into Cheshbon, and he conquers the city, the town, the village, without shooting an arrow. Finished. Comes in and he buys his time. You know what he does? He begins bringing in men and material, construction. You know what he does? He turns that little flea-bitten Cheshbon into a major metropolis, and by the time it is finished, he already has a beachhead with which he's going to conquer all of Moab. It was a terrible mistake. You gave him a foothold in Moab. You gave him that little foothold, and because he gave him that, you lost it all. What was my Rosh Shiva talking about? My Rosh Shiva was talking about the Gemara. The Gemara says, that's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah doesn't come to somebody and say, you know, kill. Leave a chalal Shabbos. Do terrible avodah. All that the Yetzirah has time. All he wants is, he just wants to get a little foothold. A little foothold. He do a little avodah. A little avera. I don't know, I can't think of what a little avera is. I don't know, big ones, you know. What I'm going to say, talk a little word of Lashon Hara. I mean, a little word of Lashon Hara is a big word of Lashon Hara, you know. I should tell you that you won't eat Rabbanut Mahadra. Nothing wrong with reading plain Rabbanut, you know. All right, but there are little averas. There are little averas. And all the Yetzirah wants is just a little, just do a little avera. So once you do a little avera, so he already has a, he's there someplace in your consciousness, and he's going to start. And day by day, until ultimately, you have to fight him off at the very beginning. Head him off at the pass. Of course, I don't think that my Rosh Shiva would have agreed that I should take the story of the Medrash of Cheshbon, take it literally. But I think, of course, we have to take it literally. When you give a beachhead, then you have to understand that that beachhead may very well turn into a base that God forbid can ultimately bring terrible, terrible suffering upon you. And I believe that Nehemiah, here in Nehemiah, they refer to Sichon. By Yirshu, they inherited the land of Sichon, and they call it the land of the king of Cheshbon. Because he made himself the king of Cheshbon, and he inherited the land because he saw the awesome potential in that little piece of land called Cheshbon. That's all he needs. He wanted Cheshbon Tchila. Just give me Cheshbon. And they gave him, without a fight, they gave up Cheshbon. And they gave up Cheshbon. Moab fell afterwards. That Eretz Og Melech HaBashan and the land of Og Melech HaBashan. You see, we have to say that in the Pasuk because it's so clear. Og is simply called the king of the Melech HaBashan. So Eretz Sichon would have been enough. But it's divided into two parts. The description of Sichon is a dual one. By Yeshua Eretz Sichon, they inherit the land of Sichon, but Eretz Melech Moab, Melech Cheshbon. Alright, just another few psukim, and we'll cut out till next week with a name here, Bisa. You made their children many, Kechavrei Hashamayim. You multiplied them like the stars of the heavens, Atviyeim El Haaretz, and you brought them to the land. Asher Amartol, I will say, that you said to their fathers, Lavo L'Resha, to come and inherit. He's saying this now for the second time. He's saying it for the second time. And we understand already why he's saying it. Because he's telling the people who are living there, you're doing the right thing. You're doing God's will. I know it's tough. Don't think of going back. You're doing what God wanted. That was the ultimate purpose. Not what the millions are doing in Babel. Vayovo Hagonim, the children came, Vayirshua Taretz, and they inherited the land. Vatachna the flame at Yoshvei Haaretz Aknanim, and you subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Knanim, Vatitnein Biyodom, and you gave them into their hands. That Malcheim, their kings, that Anime Haaretz, and the people of the land lasot bahem kiritzodam, that they should do as is their will. Alright, to be continued. Chag Sameach, everybody. Chag Sameach. That must be a tremendous, tremendous simcha. And I plan in Yetz Hashem on enjoying this Yantif.